I'm delighted to say I'm joined on the line by Aidan Fitzmaurice of the Irish Independent.
Well, Aidan, I suppose we'll get straight into it. An honours even in Finn Harp's clash with Dundalk at Finn Park. What do you make of it?
I think you just never know what to expect with Dundalk. It's probably unfair in Harp, so all the focus is on Dundalk, and it just proves how what a mess Dundalk are. I mean, they changed the team again. You know, Darley made a number of changes. The BB came in. They just don't know what they're doing as a team and as a club. And, you know, probably was fair, I suppose, overall, given that Harps are so strong in the first half. It took Dundalk probably needed that shocker of a first half and then a bit of a half-time team talk. I presume Jimmy Jilton gave them a bit of a rollicking at half-time. So probably was fair overall, I suppose. You know, Dundalk were dominant in the second half, and once again, you know, McGinley just proved how important he is to Harps. But probably was fair. But you know, you would credit Harps with the point they got. But again, it's another black mark for Dundalk and just how poor Dundalk are at the moment.
Yeah, Paul Hegarty actually said afterwards that he felt Harps maybe deserved more. Would you'd kind of disagree there? Would you?
They probably should have made more of the first half. I think they had. I think it was up to Harps to take more advantage of Dundalk in the first half because they were just so open. The defending was so well. If you look at trace back the goal, I mean, Darley, he gave the ball away that led to Barry Mead getting the chance. So it probably a little bit more sharpness. I think a 2-0 at half, you know, 2-0 lead probably, you know, Dundalk, I think, wouldn't come back from that. So that's probably a lesson, maybe a bit of a lesson for Harps, just when you have somebody in the ropes like that, and Dundalk were on the ropes, to take advantage and put them away, because they are very, 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 very brittle at the moment.
Yeah, and then next up for Harps is a home clash with Drogheda. They beat St Pat's 3-1 on Friday night.
Yeah, again, Dundalk are, Drogheda, if you look at all these clubs who on the budget they have and the job they're doing, that Tim Clancy and Kevin Doherty, the job they're doing on the budget they have in Drogheda compared to what's the money that's been spent, particularly in Waterford and Dundalk, they really are a lesson for clubs and just how to manage it. I mean, Tim Clancy's remarkable. He works nights, you know, I don't know how he physically does. He's a young guy, he's got a young family, he works nights in his day job and outside of football, and then he has to come around after probably not much sleep and try and prepare a team. But the job they did, they're so impressive at the moment. And again, a good mixture there at Drogheda of a couple of young guys who've come through, a bit of experience, the likes of Dane Massey and Gary Deegan, but a couple of guys who've come through their own academy. They're very impressive side at the moment, Drogheda. They really are, have come on. I think there's fears about them when they come up. Any team that comes up, you wonder how will they cope. I think they bought well. They bought particularly that experience, particularly Massey and Deegan, adding that to a few young players, people like James Brown and people like that. It really has worked for them, and very, very impressive side at the moment, Drogheda.
Yeah, and they'll definitely go to Finn Park full of confidence. How do you see that one faring out then?
Again, I mean, you look at Drogheda probably being the form team, perhaps probably on form as well. It was good response, you know, the weekend was good response to the Bowls game. So to me, probably a draw. I think a lot of these clubs at the moment, they're relying on, very few teams at the moment aren't relying on strikers. It's not, you know, the leagues in the past when the likes of, you know, Gary Twigg, Trevor Molloy, Stephen Gagan, and Glenn Crowe, even Johnny Speed, people like that. You've got a striker who's scoring 20, 25 goals a season. It's not really like that anymore. So it's more how you make the most of the chances you have. I think both of them are like that. You look at Drogheda's goals, you know, they came from most of them, you know, set piece from Massey, but a lot of the goals are coming from midfield. So to me, looks like a draw. I think both of them would just be happy with that stability, because they both got that stability that Dundalk and certainly Waterford just don't have at the moment.
Yeah, I think a draw would suit both sides probably. Looking back now on Saturday night, and Derry City earned a point against Shamrock Rovers. Did they deserve that draw?
I think they'll argue that they deserve more. If you look back, a lot of people in Derry very annoyed at the manner of the Rovers goal, just with one stage of two balls in play, or how quickly that the ball came back into play. So that's something, it's gone, there's nothing they can do. They can moan about it, they can't bring back the game or can't get back the win. But that was the moment that got them the equaliser from Rory Gaffney. Again, just Derry are just so unpredictable at the moment, you know, so poor at times, and then able to go to Talla and to take the lead. I think that's a bedding in process for Rory Higgins. It's a manager kind of learning his way in the game. It's new in. I think it'll take time for, I think Derry are just going to be like that this season. You know, they could go anywhere in the league and win. And they went to Bowls, came from behind and won, and then they were so poor at home to St Harps, given Harps that famous, that first ever win in Derry in Brandywell for Harps. So Derry are just so unpredictable at the moment. They're just very, very, very hard to figure out. But I think on balance, probably Derry will look back and say, how come we didn't win the game? And maybe with a sharper referee, if that goal hadn't been let, if had been pulled back for the fact that basically with two balls on the pitch, if it had been brought back, that maybe Rovers wouldn't have got that win. But Rovers win has to, sorry, that unbeaten run for Rovers has to end at some stage. It doesn't matter who you are. It was the Invincibles at Arsenal under Wenger, the great Milan team of the 80s, 90s. No team can go on forever and ever unbeaten. Rovers will have to lose the league at some stage. So I think Rovers probably will be glad that they got that point and kept the run intact. It was a good weekend for Rovers in a way, because they didn't play particularly well and got that they could easily have lost that game, and St Pat's lost. So probably a good weekend for Shamrock Rovers, who aren't playing all that well at the moment, but still getting the results.
Yeah, maybe a sign of champions that they're getting that little bit of luck for them.
I think it is, and I wouldn't. It's a bit unfair to say about the late winners. I mean, the late goals they got at home to Drogheda, you know, they are scoring a lot of late goals. That is a sign of something else. Maybe it's superior fitness. It's the bench they have, you know, the abilities they have off the bench. But that's my fear for the league. I mean, a bit of talk over the weekend is with St Pat's losing, are Rovers just going to run away with it now? My fear with Rovers is they're already so far clear without playing particularly well. I don't think Rovers have played particularly well in a lot of the games this season. They're just about getting by. You know, Chris McCann, I think, was huge for them early on. He kind of took a step back a bit in the last couple of games. I know Dylan Watts went off early in the game last night, so I don't know how long he's going to be out for. And you look at adding Richie Towell into that. And again, what I said earlier about strikers, it's not as if they're aligned on a Gary Twigg, that if Gary Twigg doesn't fire, they don't win. They've got goals. Mandrew's scoring goals, Watts is scoring goals, Gaffney has come in, and Richie Towell to come in. So I would fear for the league that if they hit form, if they keep up that look, you know, manage to keep getting the results while not playing particularly well. And then once they do hit form, which could be maybe before the mid-season break, I don't really know, but Gotell coming in, the only hope for other clubs, I suppose, maybe is that Rovers go on a bit of a run in Europe, and that can distract them, and that can maybe take the focus off a bit. That's happened to clubs often in the past, where your fixtures have moved around so much because of Europe that you lose focus, or you just lose a bit of sharpness in the league. But I think it's more or less over. I just think Rovers are just so strong already, and they will only get better.
Yeah, well, we'll look at the bottom end. So next up for Rory Higgins' side is a game against the bottom of the table, Waterford. How big of a game is that for them to help them move away from the relegation spots?
It's huge, and I think they'll get it, because Waterford are just in chaos at the moment. I really would feel sorry for people who are involved in Waterford football with the COVID case, with the manager, just with everything that's gone on down there. It just is a club just in utter chaos. They've now had two COVID cases in the space of a couple of days. You have to ask, what are the conditions down there? What are the protocols? How can this be allowed to happen, that everyone else has been so strict, so careful for the last 14 months, that Waterford now was it? It was a situation last year where the game called off against Sligo under suspicious circumstances. You had the club doctor leaving. I think she's there for 5-6 years, left because of an issue or standards she didn't like in terms of COVID things going on. You have a manager coming in, Mark Burchan, who's been appointed, who doesn't know the league, who's no contacts here, who can't even meet the players now because he has to isolate until he comes in. He's preparing the team by Zoom. They forfeited the game at the weekend. I do feel that they should have played their under-19s at the weekend against Sligo. I think it I don't think you should. The rules are that once you have 14 players at any level, if that's dipping into your under-17s, once you have 14 players, you play the game. I think Waterford should have done that. I think it was a cop-out, an easy way out. I think the argument was that it was unfair to the players. They were beaten 7-0. By drawing that Sligo on form could have done even more damage. I'd go the other way. I think play them and let them challenge. That's your chance to you might find a player, you might find a group of players to say, listen, we're going to come up with something here. This is my chance to play for Waterford, to get into the Waterford first team, or somebody watching will abroad, you know, trying to get to England, trying to get to Scotland, somebody will see me. So I think they did make a mistake as a club by forfeiting the game. It just shows how chaotic they are. So I think it's a chance now for Derry to get that point. And Derry, just to get the stability, that's been the problem since Rory came in. A couple of wins from Rory came in, and then a bit of a dip in terms of form. As I said earlier, I think you're going to get that with the new manager and the new-ish kind of squad. But Derry should take full advantage of that, take on Waterford, get the win, and then just move away, because you could very easily get sucked into a problem there at the bottom. It does look like Waterford will be bottom for quite a while then. It's up to, I suppose, Longford to stay away from that. And the couple of teams in and around there, they're like, you know, Derry, Bowes were nearly there last week. You know, they've had a couple of wins now, so it seems okay. But Derry just need to move away from the bottom end.
Yeah, and you touched on it there. The final game of the weekend was Bohemians. They beat Longford. Are Bohs starting to put their poor start behind them?
I think they are. I think they haven't really been impressive. Probably the best they've played has probably been when they lost Shamrock Rovers. I know they beat Dundalk and beat Waterford, didn't play particularly well, probably didn't deserve to be. Proves what a mad league it is, you know, that you know, when both can, you know, go to Waterford and win, not play well and get a 1-0 win. So I think that they had a bit of a dip. They weren't playing well. I think they still need to find out their best team. A lot of the managers now, they know, play a settled team, but Keith Long didn't really seem to know. The game plan just seemed to be to hit it long up to Georgie Kelly and somebody, one of the midfielders. They've got very, very exceptional midfielders in Ross Tierney and Dawson Devoy. That seemed to be the game plan, to hit it long, try and get a flick off to one of the midfielders and try and get a goal from there. They seem to be, you know, using the width a bit more now. You look at Liam Burt, I think, as well. Player Burt, I think, you know, I think he's a very, very talented player. I mean, this guy was playing in the first team of Rangers when he was 17, 18. Clearly had something. He probably dipped over the year or two after that. I think he's found his feet now. I think Dawson Devoy gave him a run in the team. I think Bohs will find their feet. And there was a bit of a worry there for a while because they weren't playing well, confident. Even Keith Long admitted the confidence was very low, and you can very easily get sucked in. Only you can just a bad run, things aren't going well, you're not scoring, you're not keeping clean sheets, you can easily get sucked in down the bottom. So I think they've moved away now, and I think, you know, it's going to be testing summer because they're going to be in Europe for a club like Bohs. It's a lot harder for them to deal with that than it is for the likes of Shamrock Rovers or Dundalk, simply because of the structure of the club and players having jobs outside football and things like that. But I think watch Bohs now. I think Ali Coote and Liam Burt, you know, two Scottish players, have probably been the most impact players in the last couple of games, and I would watch them go. I think Burt really could be an exceptional player in the league in the rest of the season.
Yeah, and they're certainly going to make a good push for them European places. Thanks, Aidan, for joining us today on Sunday Sport.
Anytime, all.